KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
It's partly cloudy to cloudy here in Atlantic, 39 degrees. We look for skies to become mostly sunny today, a high around 58. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. Well, the polls opened last hour in Iowa for an election in which voters will choose a new U.S. senator and decide the races for governor, the U.S. House, and legislative positions. As I mentioned, the polls opened at 7 a.m. and voting will continue until 9 this evening. More than 400,000 Iowans got an early start on voting by submitting absentee ballots. The election comes after months of campaigning and thousands of television advertisements, many focused on the Senate contest between Democrat Bruce Braley and Republican Joni Ernst. Voters will also decide whether Republican Governor Terry Branstad wins a sixth term, making him the nation's longest-serving governor. Branstad is running against Democrat Jack Hatch. Several of Iowa's U.S. houses are also competitive, and the election will decide which party controls the Iowa House and Senate. Well, as I mentioned, the polls have opened here in Iowa for the general election, and again, they close at 9 o'clock. Now, if you have any questions about where it is you're supposed to vote in your county, you can contact your local county auditor's office. Here in Cass County, we have the list of polling sites on our website at KJAN.com. Click on the news tab and scroll on down through the stories to find all the voting centers for today's election. Iowans who have grown weary of the constant advertising leading up to today's general election won't have to endure the barrage of mailings and on-air assaults much longer. And while most eyes in the state will be on the polling numbers where candidates are running for congressional and state offices, there are some races we'll be following here locally at KJAN as well. In western Iowa, incumbent Republican Jack Drake from Griswold is being challenged by Democrat Tim Ennis of Corning. For state representative in District 21, Republican Tom Shipley is unopposed in his bid for state senate in District 11. Meanwhile, Republican Brian Best from Glidden is running against Democrat Dan Mulbauer from Manila in District 12. Also incumbent Republican Clell Bodler from Greenfield faces a challenge from Steve Rowe from Lake Panorama for state representative in District 20. Now, there are no contested races here in Cass County. Supervisors Gaylord Schelling and Mark Wiedemeyer are running unopposed and Districts 2 and 3 for the Board of Supervisors. There will be a public measure on the ballot, however, for residents living in the Edna and Union townships, calling for a vote on whether the trustees and clerks of court in those two townships should be appointed by the Board of Supervisors as the terms expire. In Adair County, Republican Clint Height and Democrat incumbent Mike Maines are vying for the county attorney's job. There is also a race for one seat each on the Board of Supervisors in Districts 2 and 4 in Adair County. In District 2, Republican Ralph Lentz faces a challenge from incumbent Democrat Steve Shelley. And in District 4, Democrat Jody Hoadley hopes to defeat her Republican opponent Brian Roerig. Jeff Vandewater is running unopposed to fill the vacancy as Adair County Sheriff. In Adams County, Republican Doug Burt faces a challenge from Democrat Larry Sawyer for the Board of Supervisors seat in District 1. In District 3, there is a race between Republican Linda Englund and Democrat Kevin Wynn. And in District 4, Republican Leland Shipley is running against Democrat Tyler Edwards in Adams County. There's also a race for county treasurer there between Republican Jamie Stargell and Democrat Iona Allen. The voters in Adams County will also act on a public measure that asks if the county shall issue general obligation capital loan notes in an amount not to exceed $1.3 million for improvements to the Lake Icaria Timber Ridge Campground that's managed by the Adams County Conservation Board. A full-service campground has been untouched since it was first constructed 35 years ago. The renovation would include new electrical services and sewer hookups to about 40 spaces. The bond issue's passage requires a 60% supermajority. In Audubon County, there is a race between Republican Gary Van Arnam and Democrat Jerry Carter for a seat on the Board of Supervisors. In Guthrie County, Republican Cliff Carney is being challenged by Democrat Kerry Sheeter for the Board of Supervisors in District 2. In District 3, Republican Everett Grasty and Democrat Kathy Miller are vying for a seat on the Guthrie County Board of Supervisors. And there are six candidates vying for five seats on the County Agricultural Extension Council. In Montgomery County, Republican Joshua Wigg is being challenged by Karen Blue for a seat on the Board of Supervisors in District 2. Six candidates are running for five seats on the County Agricultural Extension Council, and four people are in the running for two seats on the Soil and Water Conservation Commission in Montgomery County. There's only one contested race in Shelby County, where Democrat Jessica Gessert faces a challenge from Republican Geraldine Greer for the title of County Recorder. And in Pottawatomie County, Democrat Florrie Blount and Republican Mark Brandenburg are running for county recorder. Incumbent Republicans Scott Belt, Lauren Knaus, and Justin Schultz are running for 3 seats on the Board of Supervisors, along with former Council Bluffs Mayor Tom Hannafin, who has no party affiliation. Today's general election will be closely watched in Iowa, where 6 candidates' names are on the ballot for U.S. Senate seat held since 1984 by retiring Democrat Tom Harkin. Recent polls have shown Republican Joni Ernst and U.S. Representative Bruce Braley, a Democrat, neck and neck in the race. Democratic State Representative Pat Murphy and Republican businessman Rod Blum are facing off to replace Braley in a toss-up in District 1. GOP U.S. Representative Tom Latham's District 3 seat is also open in a toss-up. Candidates include former Democratic State Legislator Stacey Apple and Republican David Young, the former Chief of Staff to U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley. Experts say the 4th District in conservative northwestern Iowa appears to stay with Republican Representative Steve King. The Secretary of State's office is open, where incumbent Republican Matt Schultz stepped aside to make an unsuccessful bid for Latham's congressional seat. Candidates include Paul Pate, Brad Anderson, Jack Porter, and Spencer Hyland. The state auditor's race pits Republican Mary Mosman against Democrat Jonathan Niederbach. 3 candidates are running for treasurer of Iowa, including incumbent Democrat Michael Fitzgerald, Republican Sam Clovis, and Independent Party candidate Keith Laub. Incumbent Republican Bill Northey is running for re-election against Democrat Sherry Taha and new Independent Party of Iowa candidate Levi Benning for Iowa Secretary of Agriculture. And incumbent Democrat Tom Miller faces a challenge from Republican Adam Gregg for the Iowa Attorney General's job. Incumbent GOP Governor Terry Branstad faces 4 candidates, including Democratic State Senator Jack Hatch. Incumbents are also up against challengers in races for auditor, treasurer, agriculture secretary, and attorney general. The state and Senate House seats are also on the ballot for today. Well, 2 key counties are going to be watched today in Iowa's U.S. Senate race. Iowa's largest county and the state's fastest growing county are key battlegrounds in the race for the U.S. Senate. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Polk County, home to the state's capital city of Des Moines, is Iowa's largest county and a key point of emphasis for Bruce Braley's campaign because it is a Democratic stronghold. Former Governor Tom Vilsack says back in 2004, John Kerry lost Iowa to Bush because Kerry didn't win enough votes in Polk County.
Polk County Democrats, you have got to deliver on Tuesday. You got to deliver a wide margin. You need to be committed to that.
As of midday Monday, a record number of absentee ballots had been returned in Polk County, over 58,000. Nearly 29,000 of them came from Democrats, another 10,000 from independents, and Democrats contend many of those are likely Braley voters. For Republicans, Dallas County has become a GOP stronghold. Dallas County was the 7th fastest growing county in the entire country in 2012. Its population grew by 62% in the first decade of this century. John McAvoy has served on the Adel City Council for 25 years and was featured in an ad for Republican Joni Ernst's campaign.
Well, I think Dallas County is going to carry strongly for Joni, too. I really do. We're strongly Republican. When we moved out there 36 years ago, it was pretty much all Democrat. All the elected people of the county, except for one, were Democrats. And now it's totally flipped around, and they're all Republicans except for one.
As of Saturday, Republicans had a 3,000-vote edge in returned absentee ballots in Dallas County. I'm O.K. Henderson.
In the funeral announcements, Mafalda Jane Makey, age 93, of Guthrie Center, died Friday at the new homestead in Guthrie Center. A memorial mass for Mafalda Makey will be today at 10:30 at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Laverne Dages, age 85, of Harlan, died Friday at Murtu Medical Center. A massive Christian burial service for Laverne Dages will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Janet Egan, age 58, of Anita, died Friday. Funeral services for Janet Egan will be tomorrow at 10:30 at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita has the arrangements. Elaine Anderson, age 92, of Elkhorn and formerly of Kimbleton, died Friday. Funeral services for Elaine Anderson will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Jacksonville. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Larry Benkin, age 77, an Atlantic native, died October 28th in Missouri. Graveside services for Larry Benkin will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock in the Atlantic Cemetery, followed by luncheon at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Helen Olive, age 97, of New Brighton, Minnesota, died Saturday. Funeral services for Helen Olive will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Russell Lenhart, age 89, of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Allen House. Graveside services for Russell Lenhart will be held tomorrow at 3 o'clock at the Layton Township Cemetery in Walnut. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Marjorie Kramer, age 82, of Harlan, died Monday at the Salem Lutheran Home. A massive Christian burial service for Marjorie Kramer will be on Thursday at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Michelle Lynn Riedemann Nurnberg, age 36, formerly of Atlantic, died October 30th in Kansas City. Funeral services for Michelle Riedemann Nurnberg will be on Thursday at 2 o'clock at the Blue Springs Christian Church in Blue Springs, Missouri. Rose Rutledge, age 94, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Rose Rutledge will be held November 17th at 11 a.m. at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Virginia Hopkins, age 90, of Greenfield, died Saturday. A memorial service for Virginia Hopkins will be held at a later date. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. And Dorothy Johnson, age 89, of Greenfield, died Saturday, died Saturday at the Griswold Care Center. And per her wishes, Dorothy Johnson's body has been donated to science. A memorial service will be held for her at a later date. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic is assisting the family. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.